Today we continue our study in the 10th chapter of John, part 3, where we have a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In part 1, we learned that the marks of the true shepherd of the sheep, and that there are two marks that Jesus declares by which we can tell the true shepherd. First, the true shepherd enters by the door, the gate, given to us in verses 1 and 2. And then second, the true shepherd leads his sheep in verses 3 to 5. How? I hope you still remember. He calls them by name. He leads them out. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep trust his voice. And then last sermon, in part 2, we saw that the good shepherd is not like a thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's the door for the sheep. And whoever and whosoever enters the door will be saved. Will come in and go out, will find pastures and have abundant life. It is available. Available only to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And in the most literal sense, Jesus is the door. There is no access in and out of the temporary shelter except through him. Isn't there any other way? Well, my friends, I say this with no apologies, and I say it again with no apologies. There is only one way. The only way. Before Muhammad died, he said, I don't know the purpose of life. And before Buddha died, he said, seek for the truth. And before Confucius died, he said, I'm not the way. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So a man may go to heaven without health, without wealth, without gain, without fame, a great name, learning, earning, culture, beauty, friends, and 10,000 other things, but he can never go to heaven without Christ. And this word comes from Jesus himself in John chapter 10, verse 9, I, Jesus, am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Today in the next section, Jesus still continues with the figure of a shepherd. Let's turn with me to your Bible, looking at John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. Again, I encourage you to bring your hard copy Bible so that you can look at your Bible. John chapter 10, looking at verses 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired man, hand, and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep knows me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 11 here tells us, I am the good shepherd. Here you find that Jesus is not only the true shepherd, the door of the sheep, he is also the good shepherd. So we have to ask ourselves, how is he a good shepherd? Now if someone comes up to us and say that he's a good teacher, then we have to ask, how is he a good teacher? Does he have love and compassion? Does he prepare his lesson? Apart from teaching, is he caring? And maybe he's strict, but is he genuine in seeing to the student welfare? You know, it is very important to ask those questions. Do not be easily deceived. Why? Because in the end time, the Bible warns that people will come and say, I can do this, I can do that, I can perform great signs and miracles, and they may even say, I am the Christ. And so if someone comes to you and say, I'm a good pastor, then may I suggest to you to run as fast as you can, stay away from that man, that pastor. A self-proclaimed pastor is a dangerous man. You will never ever hear Pastor John say, I'm a good pastor. Whether I am or I am not, it's not for me to say. And so we have to really check up on him and be careful of his speech and Be careful of his character. Keep asking, why is he a good pastor? Is he caring? Is he loving? Is he sincere? Can he be trusted? Does he have $2.6 billion in his personal bank account? Does he have a $10 million penthouse in Singapore? I actually know of a pastor who have a penthouse, $10 million Singapore dollar in Singapore. Now, many years ago, I was the chairman of the Malaysia Baptist Convention. A Christian from another church, another denomination, came to see me personally. It was, he knows one of our church members who asked him, well, go and see my pastor. You have a problem? I think he can help you. So he told me that he was cheated of $2 million by his pastor. And I wouldn't want to go into detail. His denomination, his headquarters cannot help him because his church is not a registered church. It is an independent church. And so he hired a private investigator to tell his pastor and found out that his pastor was living in a big bungalow, but the address he gave to the members was different, a small terrace house just not too far away from his bungalow. And the pastor will meet his members in the small house, have Bible study in the small house, and nobody knew about his big bungalow. And even his telephone number was redirected to the big bungalow whenever he was not in the small house. And he said this to me directly. This is a personal quote from him. Pastor John, my pastor is a crook. I want to take action against him. And after hearing his long story and doing a bit of my own investigation, I even consulted his denomination headquarters, and they told me that they can't do anything about it, even though there is truth to his story, because his church was an independent church. Now, brothers and sisters, be watchful. There are bad shepherds around. And I'm sad to say this. I'm sorry to say this as well, but we have to be very careful and not worship a pastor or a shepherd, because pastor or shepherd, we are not perfect. We can fall just also like just anybody. And similarly, we have to ask, even though Jesus Christ himself said, I am the good shepherd, we have to ask, how is Jesus a good shepherd? And I don't think it is wrong to ask that question, because Jesus and the Bible pre-warned us about the end time when there will be many, many false prophets and so-called Messiah to rise up to deceive us. So we have to look at the primary characteristic of a good shepherd to see for ourselves how Jesus is a good shepherd. And I can see a few characteristics of how Jesus is the good shepherd. Firstly, Jesus, the good shepherd, dies for the sheep. Look at verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. You see, under the old dispensation in the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd. But here in the New Testament, it is the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. In fact, we see this five times in this chapter alone, where Jesus himself clearly affirmed the sacrificial nature of his own death. You look at John chapter 10, verse 11, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. And then John chapter 10, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down for of my own accord. And John chapter 10, verse 18, I have authority to lay it down. And this is clear. This is so clear for us to understand that Jesus did not die as a martyr. He died as a substitute. Willingly lay it down on my own accord. Lay down his life for us. So when we read the New Testament, we find that the disciples could not get over the fact that Jesus loved them so much that he was willing to die for them. Many of the epistles of Paul, of John and James and Peter contain awesome references to this. And John writes this in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, to him who loves us and hath freed us from our sin by his blood. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree. And the writer of the Hebrew declares in chapter 9 verse 14, who through the eternal spirit offers himself unblemished to God. All these people, every one of them, they were amazed that this blessed one, this sinless one, this matchless Christ would consent to die for his own, to willingly, to lay down of his own accord, to lay down his life for us. And I would be amazed too if someone would die for me willingly and sacrificially. You know, many of us, we know and memorize John 3:16. You know, John 3:16? What is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Many people, children especially, they know this verse, they memorize this verse, they can recite this verse. But did you know that the same John, John the Apostle, the same John that wrote the book of John, also wrote 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, these beautiful and wonderful words that many Christians fail to memorize. You know what it says? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And that's the first mark of the Good Shepherd. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he dies for the sheep. Then secondly, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares for the sheep. In verses 12 to 13, look at verses 12 to 13. Verses 12 to 13. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now here Jesus goes on to contrast himself with the hireling. The hireling is, it refers to those who are hired to look after the sheep, to pay, to do the job. And they are only interested in things that benefits them. And they regard the sheep as something to be exploited, to be used, to advance and build themselves up. And so when the sheep get into trouble, when the enemy comes, when the wolf, the devil strikes, you know what they do? They flee. They run for their life, leaving the sheep to fend for themselves. But not so. No, if you look at the Bible, not so. The good shepherd, he stays and cares for the sheep. Do you still remember the Pharisees who, in contrast to Jesus, had no loving concern for the blind man, so they threw him out of the synagogue? But what did Jesus do? Jesus went to find him and care for him. And that's the second mark of the good shepherd. And then thirdly, Jesus, the good shepherd, knows the sheep in verses 14 to 15. Looking at verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In the first message of the good shepherd, part one, one of the marks of the true shepherd is that he calls the sheep by name. But here, the good shepherd, Jesus, knows the sheep. And that word means much more than intellectual awareness. It speaks of an intimate relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. And this is not the same as when a person says that he knows this person. How many of you know him? You see, almost everybody knows this person, okay? Everybody knows him, and his name is Najib, yeah, Najib, okay. I also know him, okay. I know his wife too. And I also know he knows Obama and play golf with him. That's all, okay. But there is totally no intimate relationship with him at all. People will queue up to shake his hand, take selfie with him instead of taking selfie with Pastor John or Deacon Bruce. Receive bream, one, or two, and three, and four, and five, and six from him. But still, they do not have an intimate relationship with him. Now, I can tell you here, frankly speaking, I know Anwar Ibrahim. Who do not know Anwar Ibrahim? Please raise your hand. You see, everyone should know who Anwar Ibrahim is. I know his wife too. His wife is Wan Aziza. I know his wife, his daughter too, Noro Iza, and her husband is a Chinese. That's all. I don't know whether he likes to eat durian or not. And I don't know whether he supports Liverpool or not. Because I don't have an intimate relationship with him. But here, an Eastern shepherd knows his sheep personally and therefore knows best how to minister to them. It is like how a person knows his dog or cat personally. They can actually tell the behavior, the mood, and favorite pet food of their dog and cat because they have an intimate relationship with the animal. And I know that they even sleep with the dog or cat and have a very, very strong bond. And that's how the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. He knows the sheep. You know, Jesus knew Simon Peter was impulsive and outspoken. He knew Nathanael, a skeptical person. He knew Zacchaeus, a short man. That was why he had to climb up the tree to see Jesus. He knew Martha was a busy lady. He knew the poor widow who gave out of her poverty. He knew Thomas was hesitant and always doubting. He knew Judas, who loved money. He knew John, whom he entrusted to care for his mother. And he knew James, the first apostle, to die for him. Now, hear this. If you have an identity crisis or amnesia, you can be sure of this comforting fact, that the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows me and he knows you. He knew John Koo, Pastor John Koo, can sing. And he knew his wife, it's his wife. And he knew Pastor Joseph can play the guitar so well, and he can even play the keyboard. He can sing, you know. And he knew Pastor Caleb is the lead pastor of Desert Park City. He knew Deacon Bruce, Deacon Pochu, they're both deacon of the church. No, he knows every one of us. And for that, he knows our nature and our distinctive characteristic as well. Our sheep, or one sheep, may be afraid of heights. No, I'm afraid of heights. No, when I went to Toronto, went up to the highest peak, the tower, once the lift opened, I stepped foot outside the lift, I could not walk. My leg was so weak, I could not walk. And my wife had to hold my hand to lead me out of the lift to the other end of the tower. You know, God knows. You know, he also knows that some people are afraid of animal. Now, I'll be very honest with you. Pastor John is afraid of rat, lizard, dog, cat, even cockroaches. I don't laugh. I know some of you also. Whenever I see cockroaches at home, I usually will call out to my wife, Grace, darling, cockroaches inside the toilet. Please kill the cockroaches. You know, and there are people who are afraid of violence. You know, there are people who are afraid of blood. That's why they cannot be doctor. And there are people afraid of driving. They're afraid of flying. You know, I know of a few sheep who are afraid of eating this durian. You know, my eldest son, Alvin Cox, is. You know, he and many other people who are afraid of eating durian, they really do not know what they are missing. And I really pity these people. I know, this sheep standing in front of you loves durian. And God gave me more good varieties nowadays to choose from. No, Mustang King 101, D24, D10, and D175. Have you heard of this before? What is D175? Now, I give you a game. If you guess right, I buy you durian. If you guess wrong or do not know, you buy me durian. How about that? What is D175? Durian. I know it's durian. What is D175? Nobody. Wow. It is red prawn ang e udang merah. You can find this really in Penang. Anyone of you got the answer right? If not, you know what to do lah, huh? I live in Ampang near Asis Atrium. After service, when I shake your hand, I give you my address. Okay, you know what to do. Either you come to my house or I come to your house to eat durian. Okay. God knows. You know? He knows some sheep never stop supporting this lousy club, Manchester United. Despite the fact that the Red Devil, they are called the Red Devil. When I look at the Bible, I read the Bible, I say the Bible tells us avoid the Red Devil, stay away from Red Devil, be not be tempted by the Red Devil. And here you are, many of the Christians are supporting Red Devil. And they need to come out the altar call and ask for forgiveness and repentance afterward. Who are not just enemy of God, but also enemy of Liverpool. Don't ask me about result yesterday. God knows us, every one of us, personally, and so He knows exactly how to deal with each and every one of us. And that is the third mark of the Good Shepherd. Then fourthly, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, brings other sheep into the flock in verse 16. If you look at verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, this is not too difficult to understand, but difficult to explain. What is this other sheep? Who are they? And what is this not of this sheep pens? What sheep pens? And what is this shall be one flock and one shepherd? Let me slowly explain. The other sheep are the Gentiles. The sheep pens is the nation of Israel. So let's put this together in verse 16 here. Jesus, the good shepherd, say, I have other sheep, the Gentiles, that are not of this sheep pens, not of the nation Israel. And so I must bring them, the Gentiles also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now let me explain further. Here Jesus is lifting his eyes beyond the cross and beyond the resurrection to the going forth of the gospel to all the nations of the earth. And isn't it moving to really think that not one of us would be here this morning, a Gentile believer in Jesus Christ, if he had not willingly laid down his life for the sheep. And the result of that laying down of his life was that the gospel broke out beyond the boundaries of Israel to spread throughout the earth. And the result of that laying down of his life, the other sheep, the Gentiles, you and me, those that are not of the sheep pens, not of the nation of Israel, have now been brought together, one flock and one shepherd. You know, here we are. In the far corners of the world, the north, the south, the east and the west, meeting as a great crowd of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ because He laid down His life for the sheep. He brought us together. Like Care Baptist Church, He brought our memories together, the Filipinos together, the Korean together, and Indonesian, even the Bangla, so that there is only one flock, not two or many, and only one shepherd, no more than one. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, there is only one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, brothers and sisters, hear this carefully. The Jews, the Israelites, do not have a different God and shepherd. The Gentiles, those of us not of the sheep pens, do not have a different God and shepherd. The Gentiles, those not of the sheep pens, do not have a different God and shepherd. Let us get this right. Because of Jesus Christ laying down His life for us, He has now brought together the Jews and the Gentiles, you and I, to be one flock under one shepherd. But sadly today, as you and I know, there seems to be many flocks. There seem to be many denominations. You know how many denominations are there in the world today? You'd be shocked. More than 2,000 denominations. You and I can take our finger, can just name the Brethren, the AOG, the Charismatic, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Lutheran, the Brethren. Not even more than 10. But there are more than 2,000 denominations in the world today. And so we have what? We have many divisions. We have many different camps, yet under one shepherd. And that was not and never God's purpose and intention. Remember what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, 21? He prayed that all of them may be one. And that is the fourth mark of the good shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, bring other sheep into the flock in verse 16. And the wonderful news is this. Jesus did it willingly. If you look at verse 18. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus had the power to do it, the authority to lay down his own life. So do not ever let anybody tell us or convince us that Jesus was hunted to death or that he was crucified against his will or that he was forced to do it. No! Jesus chose to die and to die willingly. He could have prevented it. He could have resisted it. And that's the meaning of the bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when Jesus Christ said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And thus Jesus obeyed the Father to the end. He gave himself up and took his life again. And that we might share it with, he may share it with us, every one of us. So is Jesus the good shepherd? And the answer is yes. He died for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He knows the sheep. And he brings other sheep into the flock. I do not know about you, but I believe Jesus is the good shepherd. And I hope you believe that as well. But still, there are people among the Jews, if you look at the Bible, because in verses 19 and 21 tells us they were again divided. Many of them said he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others say these are not the saying of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And I'll be honest with you, there are still people who talk about Jesus that way too. And they say, why pay attention to Jesus Christ? He lived 2,000 years ago, and today we are so much smarter. We are so much. We have so much understanding, and we are so better educated today. We don't need to go after all those primitive ideas that he taught, so called, in the Bible. And some even tells you that Jesus Christ has a demon, and he is raving mad. He's a mad person. Why listen to him? Or the most common one today, as we talk with our Chinese friends or maybe some of our family relatives, they say, why gong ye so? No, that's what we talk about. If you don't gong ye so, what else do you want to talk about? No, we have to talk about Jesus. No, friends, if we think that Jesus is demon-possessed or even crazy, would he have healed a blind man? Surely, if we think he would, then forgive me for saying this. We are the crazy one instead then. We are the one who is crazy instead. Surely one of the most meaningful aspects about Jesus, this good shepherd, is that he does for us what no one else can do. And that is something that we truly want to thank God. Do you feel that? No one ever can satisfy our hearts. No one ever can solve the problem of the mind. No one else can answer the question of life after death. No one else can touch a human situation of conflicts and strive and bring healing and deliverance like he can. And that's why the song that I've asked Pastor John Koo and the band to lead us just now to sing is, there is none like him. And I'd like to invite the musician back on stage as we close singing this song again. There is indeed none like him. Yes, there's none like him. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like him. There's none like him. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search all eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from your hand, and suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. Let's all stand as we close and singing this song, There is None Like You.